They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. And as they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus the wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. After sitting down, they kept watch over him there.
Please rise to join us for our first song.
As we gather in the Lord's name, receive now this greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we gather in your name today. We are blessed to know you are here. Help us to enter humbly, to worship deeply. Keep our mind on the cross and all that you've done for us, the deep anguish you went to on our behalf. And help us to then leave with a deep sense of gratitude and peace at this gift given for each of us. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read two portions of Scripture for the message this evening. First of all, Psalm 22, and then from Matthew 27. And Psalm 22, the Psalm of David, but it's a foreshadowing of the crying out and the anguish of our Lord Jesus on the cross as well. So I want to read that as well this evening. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like the potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. And then let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, reading just a short portion of the story, the crucifixion of Jesus. Matthew 27, verses 45 through 50. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. The congregation of Jesus Christ, think just a moment about an occasion you may have had, or think about an occasion others might have had where they feel something of that abandonment, of being forsaken. Someone close to us may have hurt us deeply or rejected us in some way. And you feel a bit of that abandonment or forsakenness. When a parent dies, leaving a young child behind, sometimes the grief of that child makes that child ask and cry out, "Why did you leave me? Mom, Dad, why did you leave me?" And it can be a similar experience when the leaving of a parent is due to divorce. A child may go through feelings of abandonment, that kind of deep grief. Or think of in another instance how grandparents or parents or brothers or sisters must have felt when one of their loved ones immigrated from Canada or from the from Europe, from Holland, or wherever, to Canada or the U.S., not knowing if they would ever see each other again, feeling a great separation by so many miles, or a father and mother in wartime having to send off their son to war, again, not knowing they would ever see him again. These illustrations describe only in very minor fashion what Jesus felt that day on the cross that made him cry out those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was a question arising out of his intense suffering. It is much like our feeling when we are suffering, going through an extreme trial, and feel like God has forgotten us. He feels like he is distant, that he's turned away from us. Forsaken. The word forsaken is probably one of the most haunting words of the human life, one of the most dreadful of human experiences. And this dreadful, dreaded word recalls for many an ocean of tears and heartache or bitter disappointment, dashed hopes, or unbearable loneliness. But again, the suffering that Jesus encountered goes far deeper than anything we will ever experience. This agonizing cry suggests how much he suffered. In fact, Jesus screamed it. In verse 46, the word there for cried out are a combination of two words. One is to shout and the other is up. So to shout out or to shout up. So Jesus was screaming out, shouting out those words. I think sometimes we think of those words that they were spoken deeply and intensely, but perhaps quietly. They were screamed out in anguish, in the darkness. Picture it, there's been silence, and suddenly, abruptly, there is this screaming from the lips of our Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus experienced physical suffering that would make any person cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was beaten. A crown of thorns was pressed into his brow. Nails were driven through his hands and his feet. Jesus suffered emotionally. Friends denied him, abandoned him. Leaders misunderstood him. Religious people cried, crucify him. And soldiers mocked him. Loved ones stood at the cross with tears. It would have been enough to make any person cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? But even this description doesn't fully explain this screamed out question. As Isaiah tells us, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried them. And he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement bringing our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He redeemed us from the law, the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it says in Galatians 3. He was made a sin offering, and he died in our place on our account that he might bring us near to God. That sin might no longer separate us completely from God. It was all this that caused his intense suffering. It was suffering endured. It was a suffering endured by him that was due to us. It was our punishment. And by him alone, and by that suffering alone, we are saved from eternal death. We are healed. In those awful moments, Jesus was expressing his feelings of abandonment as God placed the sins of the whole world on him. And because of that, God had to turn away from Jesus. As Jesus was feeling that weight of sin, he encountered God's hatred of sin in that terrible hour. All the sin of the world was placed on him. The weight of that sin, the curse of that sin that affects our world today and our lives. Jesus, who had been with God for all eternity, was now completely separated from him. And it was at this time that, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus felt the complete, utter loneliness and abandonment that sin always produces, except in his case, it was not his sin, it was ours. So this separation, it's not just a physical separation, it's not just an emotional separation, but as he experienced that separation from God, it means that Jesus went to hell for us. The darkness of that afternoon meant that God's judgment had come to earth, but it was a judgment focused on just one man, Jesus, when it should have been focused on you and me. And if Jesus had not been cut off from God, then that eternal darkness would have engulfed the entire world. So it was then that Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He experienced hell. And in Psalm 22, David, where he was experiencing great anguish, surrounded and attacked by enemies, feeling abandoned and alone, expressing the same words of forsakenness, where we hear those words echoing down the corridors of time, climaxed in Jesus, because he actually was abandoned by God. At that point, not the dimmest ray of God's favor penetrated Jesus' soul. And so he cried out those words. Not a cry of anger, but one of deepest distress and anguish. Jesus hurt no one. He was innocent of all crime. He was sinless. And it saddens our heart to think of it, that it was the only way, the way of God the Father and God the Son's choosing, that would lead to our salvation. And going to the cross and suffering the agony of hell, it was all for us, that our sins could be forgiven, and that we could have the gift of eternal life provided for us. And all of this suffering, being on the cross, Jesus did not do it begrudgingly or in a bitter way. He willingly went there for us, though it was anguishing. He was in agony, experienced the pain of it all, physical, emotional, spiritual. He experienced it all because he loved us that much. That Spirit was there even on the cross and said in his words, as he looked upon the mocking soldiers and the people passing by, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He loved even them, and he loves us. And so by his willing sacrificial act, sin no longer stands between us and God. We can enjoy sweet communion in knowing God's favor and presence. Yes, he died to remove and turn around that curse of sin upon the world, to remove sin's condemnation, but it was very personal for you and me, because he removes our sin, my sin. And we can now enjoy a life of obedience because we are not only have our sins forgiven, but we are given new hearts and wills. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He lives in you and me. Death is no longer that eternal punishment for us, but it becomes the entrance into eternal life, to the very presence of Jesus, our Savior and our King. He took the sting of death away. And so to the one who comes to Jesus in belief, these are the blessings that are to be enjoyed. There really is only one answer, though it's not really a true question. My God, why have you forsaken me? But there is only one answer. Why did God forsake Jesus? It was all for us. To remove that guilt of sin and grant us eternal life. And though we have experiences today where we feel abandoned, we feel forsaken, we want to cry out those same words, Jesus experienced it and was completely forsaken by God so that we would never be forsaken. We can cry out in anguish, but in the end, we can know we are not forsaken, now or ever. So come now in humble sorrow for your sin, seeking the Lord's mercy as you've heard this word and as we come to the table and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. Please forgive me. A simple word of thanks doesn't do it. But something needs to happen in the very depth of our soul that you and I realize that we can do nothing at all to gain our salvation. It starts with repentance, saying, I'm sorry. I need your forgiving grace. And once you believe in and are resting only in the sacrifice of Jesus, then that deep joy and gratitude begins to flood your soul because sin and death no longer have this grip on you. Remember, Jesus made it all possible for us by his suffering and death. What a great comfort and assurance we have tonight and every day of our lives. Amen. Invite the praise team up and invite you to stand and remain seated as your offering is received and we sing, Go to Dark Gethsemane. So prepare now for the giving of your offering.
Save us, Lord, when death draws.
As we turn now to the taking of the Lord's Supper, I invite you to think on these words. For this Holy Supper we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill for us all the obedience to divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. And by his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted by God and never forsaken by him. We also come to have communion with this same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto eternal life. And in the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, when with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like him in his glory. Since by his death and resurrection and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true love, mindful of one another, the communion of the saints. And so we hear now the words of institution of this Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus. For the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for your forgiveness of sins. And whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. And so this supper that we share in together is for all who confess their faith in Christ Jesus and are members of a Christian church. You're welcome here at this Lord's table. So we come now, for all is ready. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his willing obedience and suffering during his life on earth, and especially for his giving up of his body and blood on the cross. Give us the assurance now that our sins are pardoned fully through his blood. And send your Holy Spirit upon us, that all who eat and drink at this table may be one body, one holy people, a living sacrifice to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now invite the elders forward. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord.
Lift up your hearts unto the Lord. Your hearts unto the Lord. In Christ the world has been redeemed.
In Christ the world has been redeemed.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. In Christ the world has been redeemed. His resurrection sets us free. His resurrection sets us free. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. His resurrection. resurrection sets us free. Therefore we celebrate the feast. Therefore we celebrate the feast. Alleluia, say alleluia. Therefore we celebrate the feast. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord.
This is for the hungry soul, needing the true bread from heaven. So take, eat, remembering and believing that the body of our Lord Jesus was broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins and for eternal life. Now the cup for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in the bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior Jesus Christ torn for you. Eat and remember the wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price that made us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you. Drink and remember, he drank this cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of side. Oh, the bonds of grace around the table of the King.
And so with thankfulness and faith we rise to respond
and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as His body here on earth. As we share in His offering, we proclaim Christ has come again, and we join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King.
This cup is for the thirsty soul, never satisfied with drinking the delights of the world, but fully satisfied by the living water, Jesus, our Lord. So take, drink, remembering and believing that the blood of our Lord Jesus was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins and for eternal life. Please join me in prayer. Father, as we have pondered the depth of your anguish and will continue to do so, remembering that by your stripes we are healed, and remembering that there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus. The guilt of sin is gone, but at a price, paid with your body and blood. And so we are so thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thankful that Satan can no longer have his way with us. Thankful that not even death can have its way with us. And in those times, Lord, when we are suffering the anguishes of this life, the trials, the burdens, the sorrows, the loneliness, we know that you are a God who says you will never leave us or forsake us. You will always be there. And when death comes, you will take us by the hand through death's doorway. We are never alone. And so we are thankful that we can take of this meal to remind us and assure us of what your sacrifice means for us. And that when faith enters our hearts, it will never leave. It will always have your hold, your grip on us. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in His name. Amen. As we proceed into the next part of our service, just want to give you a little word about this time of reading and candles being extinguished. It's considered a tenebrae liturgy. It's really been practiced since medieval times in the church. but is considered a prolonged meditation on Christ's suffering. Readings tracing the story of Christ's passion or his last words or music portraying his pathos and using the power of silence and darkness. Remember this momentous day. So we ponder the depth of Christ's suffering, and in the end, we return the small but persistent flame of the Christ candle, the conclusion of the service in which we anticipate the joy of our ultimate victory in Him.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Him along with the criminals, one on His right, the other on His left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up His clothes by casting lots.
One of the criminals who hung there by Him hurled insults at Him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked Him. "Don't you fear God," he said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth today, you will be with me in the paradise."
See you. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, his disciple took her into his home.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone, see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Heart was broken, sent from the Father's side. The Son of God forsaken, the holy sacrifice. For me he was forsaken, for me